Yesterday, my granddaughter Talia was in a sort of a gymnastics trapeze program that was presenting itself to a large audience. There must have been about 30 people doing trapeze things, those hanging curtains and real trapeze. And so it was a big audience because everybody brought their families and grandparents like us. And there's this thing that starts to happen in life where you begin to present yourself to the world. You begin to want to be known, be observed, be appreciated, be loved. And it's really interesting to watch. There were probably 30 girls and one boy and one woman in her 70s, which was kind of totally unexpected. And they were all doing their level of routine. Each one had more mastery than the ones before them, so they went on and on, and Talia was early in the game. But her mastery was something more than just ability on the trapeze. She was present tense. She was very assured of who she was and her place in the scheme of things. It was really beautiful to watch, and I could feel it so deeply. It was like she was being acknowledged, and she wanted that acknowledgement, and she wanted the universe to say, I see you, I get you, I know you, I love you. Something bigger than just the family. Her brother, Elijah, was there watching this in a state of kind of amazement, perhaps some confusion about who am I, how would I do that, what am I supposed to be in life. A lot of stuff was going on. I could feel his mind working, and he was desirous of being hugged and held by his father, his mother, his grandparents. He wanted security because he was not ready for that exposure or that acknowledgement. And I could feel inside him this churning of stuff that goes on with all of us. We're all so wildly human and so basically wanting acknowledgement and afraid of it. Wanting to have it and then not wanting to live up to it or having to perform to get it. So we're very complicated beings and very needy. I watched all the girls and the one guy and the older woman performing, and every one of them had a different level of presence. Some performed as though they weren't even there. They were just going through the routine. Others were milking it like mad. Some had incredible skill and beauty, and some had no form at all. There were sometimes two or three things going on at the same time, so people were applauding for some and not the others, perhaps, and there was a kind of a confusion in the energy, and it was not a Hollywood movie. It didn't have a great beginning, middle, and an end, and I must say, by the first 45 minutes, I was ready to do anything to get out of there, and couldn't, but there we were, stuck in this thing, so I just held my grandson, and he just held me, and we were there together in an unbelievable presence, just joyful presence. And I was so grateful for it. When this was all over, we went out to lunch. And because Blanche has trouble hearing, we were able and luckily available there to have a private room. So it was quiet, so we could all hear each other and not have to deal with the noise of the restaurant. And the feeling of family, of Evan and Josh and Talia and Elijah, me and Blanche, just together, was so huge, so fulfilling, so much what life is, this kind of acknowledgement from all directions that we are a whole, that we are a piece of cloth, that we know and love each other. And it was so wonderful, and Talia was so satisfied by being who she was. And it was really wonderful. The only issue was that Joshua had to go to a meeting in the city. And he had to break up this sense of perfection. And it was in the air, but his son, Elijah, was not aware exactly that this was happening. And so when Josh got up to go to this meeting, Elijah could not bear the breakup of this family unit. He could not bear the aloneness that he suddenly felt, the loss of a parent, the insecurity, the fragility, the fear of being abandoned. It just surged up in him, and he started crying, "Don't go, Daddy." And it was the most pure expression of love and fear and abandonment and beauty and everything about life, and where every one of us in a certain level knows life and has worked so hard to get past that point because it's so painful. The idea of loss, the idea of separation, the idea of detachment, the idea of somebody leaving this perfect space that we're in is so destabilizing. And I watched Elijah go through this, and I just broke my heart. It just broke my heart. It was so painful. It was so where I live, underneath it all, underneath everything, that's where we live. We do not want the things we take for granted, the acknowledgments, the cohesion, the familiarity, the simplicity, the joy of our lives to be dismantled, taken away, torn asunder. And there wasn't much we could do for Elijah except somebody said, "Do you have any candy?" and I had a hard candy, and well, it works. and so he and Natalia wanted a hard candy, and it just took his mind off of everything. And Joshua was able, after a moment or so, to actually make his exit. And we all kind of regrouped, and we tried to make everything good and fine. And in a way, it was. And we all went our separate ways. About an hour later, I get a call from Josh. He was on his way to San Francisco, about to cross the Golden Gate Bridge, and he turned around. He said, "I'm not going to this meeting. I'm going home." And he turned around and he went home to his family. I was so moved by that choice, by something in him that was not cognitive, it was felt. It was a sense of, I need to be there at this moment for these people, that I need to be part of the whole. And this thing that pulled me away, which was beneficial perhaps for his work and for down the road as a connectivity, as a networking experience, he just said, "I'll have to do that another time." He made a choice for something that had to do with love, embracing, cohesion, compassion, kindness. It was really, it broke my heart again that he understood that we have choices in life and they matter, and that his family was at the core of this. So he came home, and Elijah was already down for a nap, and he took Talia out, and Talia has been afraid to ride a bike. She's 6 years old. She's just been afraid. And Josh said, "Let's go ride a bike." She said, "Okay." And he took her out. And the energy of that acknowledgement in the day, the sense that she had, in a sense, come out to the world, the sense that she had been empowered by life, did something to her. And she went out on this bike, and Josh had his iPhone, and he ran with her down the path of it's actually a track at a school. He's running with her, and he leaves go of the bike, and she goes, "Oh," and she's doing it. She's riding on her own. She is bicycling down this incredible university high school track, and she is in awe of what she's doing. But the energy of that day was completely transformative because she came out to the world, and her father came back to her. And they took advantage of this incredible dynamic to move forward yet another step into engaging life. I just came away from all of this looking at the big picture of life and the small picture of family and the cosmology of all of us together in this vast universe of evolutionary process. And I watched that process unfold yesterday, having to do more than anything else with the heart. Hearts breaking, hearts opening, hearts being recognized. I watched this energy in play, and I saw how much we are driven by, influenced by, these feelings of contentment, need, fear, joy, beauty, responsibility. All of these qualities are so essential to the human experience. And when people live them according to, I hate to say the word plan because it's not exactly plan, but to an evolutionary process, that's how we grow as human beings. We make choices based on feelings, not always conceptual, not always thought, but just how do we feel. This instruction that comes through our heart is so powerful. This inner sense of doing the right thing, of knowing something, this is how I should do it. So that Joshua in that car felt, this isn't a thought, he felt, I should turn around. I should go home. I should be with my children. I should be part of something that is very magnetic in this moment. And he did that turn. And out of that turning around, Talia had a new burst of capacity, a new evolutionary step. For any of you who remember riding a bike, it is a liberating moment, almost as good as driving a car, and maybe better, because it's so freeing for a young person to be able to find balance and find speed and find control and the whole power of that new expression. This is life. This is how life works. We work as a collective. We work together. We are either in harmony or we are in dissonance. If we are in harmony, we empower one another. We give to each other the opportunity to evolve and to grow. If we are not in harmony, if we have attracted parents who do not turn the car around, if we have attracted siblings who are not kind to us, who don't love us, who do not learn from us, If we experience people around us who are challenging and not uplifting, who take away rather than give, and I'm just talking about everybody. I mean, the general populace is not brought into total harmony by their daily experience, by their familial experience, by their teacher's student experience. We have challenges. We have difficulties and we have struggles. And so when you don't have people who turn the car around for you, what do you do? What do you do? When life does not provide that much information to people that redirects them into the right thing, how do you live your life as someone who is not a recipient of the right thing? And here's one of the great gifts of the teaching of meditation. When the outer life does not serve you and does not give you what you want and what you need, there is a place to go. There is a place to turn that will change everything. And it is available to everybody on the planet. And unfortunately, in many cultures, particularly our Western culture, nobody talks about it. Nobody gives us an opening to it. Nobody explains the possibility, but it's so simple. The opening is inside. The doorway is in your heart, actually in all the chakras, but the heart is the easiest opening, and it's the realm of feeling. Many of us have feelings that are engendered by the outer experience. So when we're not loved, when we're not acknowledged, when we're not allowed to express our true selves, when we are not paid attention to by people who come back to help us, when we are at a loss for that kindness. If you can sit with your own sadness, sit with your own disappointment, Enter into your heart chakra and sit quietly, even crying inside. Those of you who've cried a lot know there's something that happens in crying that's not unlike meditation. It's a breathing, it's a deep breathing. That's not the best meditation, but it is a breathing, and it brings you into your heart, and after a period of time, you don't cry anymore. You have achieved something that is still pointed. It is an open heart. It's a quiet, open heart. And that quiet, open heart, after you're crying, sits there, and you start to feel comforted by something you don't even understand. It's by what remains after the crying has been expressed. There is something inside that invites you in and says, I'll hold you. I'll take you. I'll take care of you. You're okay. It's a quieting, and everyone who's cried in any depth knows this feeling. But crying is not the only access to that feeling. Simply sitting still in a meditative space and bringing your attention into the heart allows you ultimately to feel that welcoming embrace that takes you in and allows you to begin to feel safe and comforted and at home and at peace. It helps you then take that peace back into the world and feel better about the life around you. But let me tell you something else it does. You go inside your heart, you sit, I've described this to people, where you sit in a nice comfortable chair with your feet up and the fire is in the fireplace and it's pouring rain outside, and you're just feeling an unbelievable coziness. But here's a secret. There's a door, it's a little bit like Narnia, in the closet, in that house, that if you enter into it, it takes you into a space that is otherworldly. Another version of that is a back door that takes you outside into a world that is familiar but not known to you. Either of these doors are entry points into your deeper self and the journey of discovery and entering into the inner unknown. These doorways take you deeper than anything you can experience in the outer world, although they're not unlike each other. But the inner journey is a journey that is done almost entirely with emotional life. It's a feeling space, and you start to move through it. And it also has coloration, it has smell, it has emotional turmoil and beauty and upliftment. It has all of these energies. And as you move through your heart chakra, you start to be guided into a kind of orchestral symphonic experience of such awesome beauty that you forget there's an outer world at all. You just begin to go on this discovery journey of who am I? And you start to see that you are vast, you are ancient, you are beyond comprehension. This inward journey, if you go through that doorway inside yourself, carries you into a world of such wonder that you almost stop wanting to go out back into the real world or the outer world. But you cannot not go back out because your body demands it. So you have to go back into the outer world. But the incredible thing that happens when you have been visiting those inner spaces and those feelings take you on these inner journeys is that awareness and that feeling and that concept of knowing enters into the outer world, and the outer world becomes transformed by the inner world. So those who have not had the benefit in life of the Father who turns around to take care of you, those who have not had friends who acknowledge them, those who have not had lovers who have paid attention to them, all of the people in the world who have lives that are not working the way they want them to work. Come out of this inner space into a world that allows you to, one, have compassion for the people who don't love you, for the father who didn't turn around to embrace you. It allows you to experience life from a different perspective. And the deeper you go in yourself, or the higher you will go in yourself, the more you will see the totality of life in its enormous dysfunction. You see so much about life. One of the things you see, of course, purely logically and also emotionally, is that it's impermanent, that it, whatever it does for you is not a permanent solution, it's temporary. Everything is temporary. And that the inner life is somehow a way of witnessing the outer with a kind of deep clarity, knowing, acceptance. And that acceptance starts to free you from your dramas, from your unhappiness, from your guilt, from your sense of dissatisfaction, from your lack of this or lack of that. The inner life begins to filter through and illuminate, if you will, the outer life, and they start to work on each other. The inner and the outer start to have a kind of flow between each other, and what happens in that flow is they open the doorway so that you begin to see that the inner and the outer are the same thing. It's one vast being, and you are right at the center of that being, that you are the space between which the outer and the inner get to know each other. And this little hole this doorway of personality, which all of us have, starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you are no longer the arbiter of what goes in and what goes out. You are no longer somebody who's living in relationship to the inner and the outer, because you disappear in the vastness of your own opening, and it all just flows, and there's nobody who's deciphering, there's nobody who's thinking about it, there's nobody who's fighting it or wishing it was otherwise. That all just goes away. And then there's just life. Life, inner life, outer life, moving in this incredible dynamic with no end point. It's infinitely big. And somehow, once you let go of the frame, the door frame of you, the heart goes inward and outward, and it embraces and touches everything there is, and it has no stopping point. The wonder and beauty of openness, of open-heartedness, of surrender, of acceptance, of seeing and witnessing and being one with all there is not an impossibility. It is not a dream. It is not a story. It is the reality of each one of our lives. Every one of us is that doorway. We think of ourselves as something personified, as a person, as a thing, with arms and legs and a mind and a head and eyes. But when you really relax all of that and you go deep inside, the mind, the heart, the arms, the legs, they all become expressions of this singular thing, this incredible thing. So when I sit here and teach class and my arms go through these almost ballet-like dances, there is energy movement, energy from the inside moving into the outside, and then moving into your inside, and then making your inside and my outside and my inside all part of the same whole. And it's this exquisite, beautiful dance of energies. It's so beautiful. And the entwinement, the connection, the sense of sharedness is beyond understanding. It's so beautiful. And we all have the capacity to be this singular thing that is anointing itself, is loving itself, acknowledging itself, giving to itself, taking from itself, but not as a loss or not as an owed favor. We do it because it's so lovingly wonderful to give and take, to share, to have. And then when you're in that space and the voice inside says, turn the car around and go back, you'll do it. Trust me, you'll do it. And if somebody didn't come back for you and do it for you, you'll do it for somebody else. And that will heal you as well as that other person. And the person who didn't turn the car around, if you forgive them and you love them and you open to them, then they too start to gradually feel this energy coming at them that starts to inform them. You may find that you finally have a dialogue with them, or you at least have a letting go of something inside that is holding on to your anger with them, and your letting go of that anger actually is a release for them. Not everybody gets it, clearly. We're in a world full of people with a lot of complexity and a lot of difficulty and a lot of suffering goes on in this world, and everybody we know is built in systems of suffering and unsatisfied needs and wants and all of these things. But if we take care of our side of the equation, what starts to happen is that we start to free other people to be free in their equation. That's our dance. And that's what we can do. It's our way of serving the world. By taking care of us, we serve everybody. So it's an extraordinary responsibility. It's really, people call it the spiritual journey. I just call it human, just being human, finding your way to being human. And being a human being is such an extraordinary achievement, to be able to give yourself to another person, to be able to touch somebody, to love somebody, to help them forgive themselves, to be able to let them know that they're good and fine as they are. This is an amazing thing to be able to do. It's something we all have the capacity for. And yet, most of us are so self-absorbed in our drama, in our anticipations, in our, you know, hopes for greatness or whatever we don't have. You know, we're so lost in those things that we don't stop to find this unbelievable refreshment that comes from being who you are inside. So, the wake-up call is to know that you can, in this lifetime, discover everything I'm saying. And the benefit of it is not that you become a wonderful person, but that you become full of wonder. Not that you become a beautiful person, but you become a knower of beauty. And that is the gift. That's the gift. And you can't get enough of it. And all you have to do to get it is to let go of trying and just be it. The source that you're looking for is you. The source of everything is you. You're it. The source filters through, floods through, expresses itself through you. This is who we are. This is not a game. It's not a dream. Maybe it is on some fundamental level. Maybe it's a virtual reality. I don't know what it is, but I will tell you, this system of going in order to find the joy that you can then present outwardly, or taking the joy from outside and bringing it in to go deeper into yourself so you can bring more back out. This is just a practical way of living. Give to the world so that the world will be a better place and you will live in a better environment. And your environment usually is small. Family, a couple of people, work cohorts, a few people out there. If you feed that environment with your stillness, your joy, your kindness, your goodness, your compassion, if you just bring that to that space, you will live in that space. It's just practical. If you're nice to all the people you work with, they'll start to be nicer and happier. Mostly, some won't. You know, we all had bosses who aren't going to get it. But it doesn't help. It really doesn't help to be angry at them. It doesn't help to hate them. It doesn't help at all. Once you have truly opened to and accepted the reality of a person, you become free. When you become free, you will move on. Life will move you on. As long as you're engaged in the anger and the hostility and the difficulty of the life you've lived, it's got you caught. You are caught by that life. The only way to get uncaught is love and compassion. It frees you and it frees them. If they don't get the message, that's not your problem. You get the message and you will move onward, and life will free you over and over and over and over. But it doesn't free you until you have dealt with the issues, until you bring love to the equation. That's what we have to do. And that comes from in here, comes from the heart chakra, this powerful sense of sensing, of being, of feeling, of emotional life. If you can go past the fears, if you can go past the doubts and all of that stuff, you will be brought into deep awareness. Deep awareness. The universe will give you a little piece of candy, and you will go, and you will start to forget all of the pain, and it will start to open up, and you will start to either cry your heart out or just step inside and go, thank you. And that will do it all. It really will. We know this stuff when we're kids. We don't know it when we're adults. You know, I'm a terrible crier. I don't cry hardly at all. It's really hard for me. On the other hand, I get sadness. And when I saw Elijah crying yesterday, the sadness in me was grief-stricken because I totally got the human condition. I totally got his fear. I totally got his helplessness. I got all of it. And I know the whole ride he's got to go on now in order to arrive at a place that I'm talking about. But he is on that ride, just like each of us has been on that ride. And he'll figure it out, I believe, in the ways that we'll figure it out. And if we don't figure it out, then, you know, maybe you come back again. I don't know for sure. But I do know better to figure it out and have a life worth living than not figure it out and walk around armored against the universe. That is not a way to live. It's horrible. So take the time, sit down, breathe, open your heart, go inside, and roam. Nityananda said, enter your heart and roam. Go in there, sit in that easy chair for a minute, then get up and either go into the Narnia closet or go into out the back door and find the universe that exists within your inner life. It's huge and it's worth finding. Any questions? I hope that wasn't too basic.
No.
Okay. Okay. You know, I think we all know it on some level, but on another level, we don't. And it has to be articulated every so often because the thing I see that goes on all the time is that people are looking for all the solutions externally. They're looking for all the solutions outside themselves. You know, another piece of cake, you know, another drink, another pill, another love affair, whatever it is, we're looking and looking and looking and looking and looking, and it doesn't work. And it's so simple to do this inner thing if you can get past the fear of your emotions and past the fear of your of the deadness that you'll sometimes feel. It will, if you sit and focus on this space, it will ultimately go, come on in. It just does it. That's what it does. It's there for that, period. It's so easy. It just takes determination. So anyway, I'm going to repeat myself. Thank you guys for coming. Love you all, truly, truly. It's wonderful that you're here. And next week we're in LA. Can you teach next week? Thank you. And I'll be back, we'll be back in the week after that. And see you guys then. Thank you.